You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
All right.
Yeah. We're polished now.
We have an actual intro.
Yeah, how do you like that?
Instead of us just screaming randomly over
random song choices.
Random songs.
We've moved up in the world.
Yes, we have.
How you guys doing? I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And it is time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
That's right. We bring you the best of sports, entertainment, and odd news, and whatever else we want.
Yeah, that's right. So there you go. I can't believe that. We're moving on up now. We got an official starter song.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's amazing. You know,
it was very polished.
Yeah.
I'm very excited
about it. We almost sound like professionals.
Almost.
Almost.
Not quite.
Yeah.
The key is almost.
I just shipped my band
with sound clips like that.
Exactly.
I don't think we'll ever hit professional, but we'll be close.
No. All right. Well, how you guys doing? Ready to come at you full force with another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It is essentially just me and Mike providing you with the most interesting news tidbits that we find in the week and giving you our opinions on them.
I know you're all dying to hear our opinions.
Well, you never know.
They say, I haven't heard the full story until I've heard what Rich and Mike have to say about it. It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
All right. Okay. There you go. That's our conversation.
And that's the show.
And that's the show. Thank you for listening. No. We're more attuned than that. We've got a couple of things to get to on the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, and of course, our infamous
non-fortune cookie odd news.
Infamous being the key word.
Yes.
But as you know, we start off every show. Well, first, how are you doing, Rich?
I'm doing good. I've had a hell of a week.
Yeah.
You
were telling me a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Just the craziness.
I you know what? I'm going to delve into this. I should have brought up music for this, but I didn't know. I didn't plan on it, but you know what? I'm going to bring it up.
Like our tagline says, unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
That is right. This week, I got to see one of the best bands that money can buy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I feel so privileged. I got to see the Rolling Stones.
But you did get satisfaction.
I did get satisfaction. They were just unbelievable. They came into Philly. They did two shows. I got to see the first show. And they just blew me away. 50 years strong they're going.
Yeah? Still sound good?
Yes, they do. And just every song is...
I love this song.
Every song is a classic. Yeah. You know, everybody in the stands knows every song on the set list, and it's just so much fun. I don't think I will ever experience a concert like that ever again.
Did they play Sympathy for the Devil?
Yes, they did. They played that for the encore, the first encore song.
That's one of my favorites. Do you have that?
Yeah, this is first I got Gimme Shelter right now, which they did a amazing version of. It really brought goosebumps on my skin, just everywhere.
Yeah, that was good?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, of course, your favorite song.
Oh, man, this is one of my favorites.
One of your favorite songs right there, Mike.
Man.
Sympathy for the Devil. This was their first encore song.
It's such a great song.
And it was just... it was the last song. The first encore song was You Can't Always Get What You Want, because they brought in the Philly Children's Choir to sing that part. Sympathy for the Devil was the third to last song. And when they started the song off, it was the stage went dark.
Yeah.
And then it glowed red. And then nice. They started playing the first couple lines for it. It was amazing. I had so much fun.
It sounds like it was a blast.
Yeah, it was. And I don't think I'll ever experience anything like that again.
Yeah.
And especially for the Rolling Stones. You know, this is the band.
That's your favorite band.
It's my favorite band. This is the band that, like, my mom grew up with, you know, and they're still hanging around, and I got to enjoy
them. Still going strong, I know.
Yeah. Another one, Paint It Black. Oh. There you go. The hits just keep going on and on. Everyone knew.
I know. Every single song you've played, I go, this is my favorite song.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. And also, they brought... brought former guitarist Mick Taylor with them.
Nice.
So we had two Micks. And I'm not being like, not saying that in an Irish stereotypical way. We had two Micks on the stage, Mick Jagger and Mick Taylor.
One Mick.
Two Micks. Oh, my medication.
Radical.
Yeah. And he came back and he played Midnight Rambler.
Screw it. Let's just do like a Rolling Stones hour.
There you go. Yeah, I could. I have a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the first CDs I got to listen to as a kid growing up was a compilation CD of the Rolling Stones called Hot Rocks.
Nice.
And that's how I developed my interest in Rolling Stones. And yeah, we were talking about that, you know, in the audience, that's kind of a beautiful thing about music, especially when you got a band as long as the Rolling Stones been around for 50 years. Different generations can appreciate this music.
Right, right. I know there with I know I got into a lot of this classic rock through playing the Guitar Hero games.
Woo, Guitar Hero!
Back in what was it? I guess like 2006, 2000 something like that.
Yeah, around
that time. Yeah, you discover all this music from the 60s and 70s and you're like, "Wow, like the opening line from Brutal Legend." Do you ever get the feeling you should have been born in the 70s? And then Jack Black goes, nah, earlier. Like the early 70s.
The early 70s. Here you go, another good hit. Jumpin' Jack Flash. Yeah. You know? And that was also part of their encore, too.
Nice.
Oh, it's the whole thing from top and bottom. One of the best concert experience I've ever had. A little bit pricey. $100 to start off with.
Well, yeah, but it's the Rolling Stones.
As far as I'm concerned, it was worth it. And, you know, no offense because they're old, but this might be the last time they're going to tour.
That's a very good point.
You know?
How old are they? At least in their 60s. Probably 70s, right?
I think Mick Jagger turned 70 soon.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, Mick Jagger has the stamina of a 20-year-old, all right? He was running around on that stage.
It's all the drugs.
Well, that's Keith Richards.
Oh, okay.
He still smokes on stage, which is great. Just light up. There was actually a betting going on when he was going to light up his first cigarette.
Yeah.
I heard people bet on what song was going to be. And I think it was... I think it might have been... now I got Jumpin' Jack Flash in my head. It wasn't Jumpin' Jack Flash. That was the encore. That's way too late.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Gimme Shelter. I think Gimme Shelter was when he lit up his first cigarette. And
yeah.
There was a pool going when he was going to light up his first cigarette.
But, that's cool.
So, I don't know. I just had one of the best weeks of my life. It was great.
Let's just listen to Rolling Stones music.
Yeah, you know what? Sports, right. Entertainment.
See you guys later.
Yep. No, we're going to tune out. We got all the Stones here.
It's like hard to concentrate because I'm like sitting here like, yeah.
Alright, well, alright. If it's that distracting, I'll have to fade out then.
Well, we do have a show to get to, unfortunately. Yeah.
So that's what I did with my week. How about you, Mike?
Crap, I can't remember what I did. Now I'm just thinking about the Rolling Stones music. Well, one thing, I know that we went to the Too Many Games convention.
Oh, yeah, another thing we did. I was busy.
You were busy.
I did not realize how busy I was this week.
And, that's what's been going on, and we're actually going to talk about the video game, the Too Many Games convention in the entertainment entree section of the show.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, but in order to get there, first we have to talk a little bit about the sports sampler.
Yep, and we don't go heavily into sports, but we just dabble.
Yeah. We dabble in sports.
So what's our first topic?
Well, you had said that it was kind of shocking. You saw a pitcher get hit, and you wanted to talk. He got hit with a line drive.
Yeah. Well, first, all right.
Sorry.
We're going to talk about baseball.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about baseball. That would be if Darth Vader played baseball.
No.
He would just use the Force. It's like cheating. It's like superstar.
Wow, that would be really like obvious cheating.
The ball just freezes in midair.
Yeah, it just stops right at home plate, and then he can just hit it. That's quite a changeup you've got there.
But the drug tests always come back negative.
Oh, yeah. You can't figure it out.
We don't know what it could be.
I wanted to start off with baseball. We haven't really delved into baseball this season yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it is still technically the first half of the season. Yeah. That's how long this baseball is.
God, it's a long season.
Yeah, they're still in the first half of the season, so it's reasonable. A little bit of a shocking development going on in baseball right now. Over the weekend, we had a pitcher, threw out a pitch, just like a regular game, throws out pitch. Batter hits it, and it's a line drive, and it hits him square in the head. Like, ooh. no question about it, right in the head.
That's not good.
And it was scary. He didn't move.
Oh, man.
Luckily, there were paramedics on the scene. They checked him out. They were able to get a stretcher out onto the field, and they carried him off of the field.
Is he all right?
I believe there is no serious damage done. He will be out, of course. He's going to have concussion-like symptoms.
Right, right. Well, you say no serious damage done, but we really don't know that yet.
Yeah, when we talk about serious damage, that's like career-threatening, like in the sports world.
Yeah.
But any concussion is serious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm
just
saying...
Look at football.
the issue you bring this... I guess one of the issues why you bring this up is because of all the news in recent years about the effects of concussions on athletes. So whenever we say no serious injury, we don't really know until 20 years later when they're having memory problems or when they're having cognitive problems. So about this pitcher that got hit.
All right, just some more information I quick pulled up. It was the Tampa Bay Rays player Cobb, Alex Cobb, pitcher, just on the mound. He just threw a straight-up pitch in the line drive, came back and hit him square in the head.
Jeez, that must be so scary.
Yeah, it was the fifth inning of the game. According to the Rays, all tests are normal, and the only thing that Cobb has are the effects of a mild concussion. But at the same time, you know, when something like that happens, the thing that I just keep thinking of is, why don't pitchers wear helmets? I'm sorry.
Right.
It's getting to the point where these baseballs are just flying at him with incredible speed.
Baseball,
I mean, a regular fastball easily goes 90 miles per hour, and then ricochet off of a bat, hit you in the head.
Yeah,
I mean, we're talking about some deadly force here.
Baseball is surprisingly a very dangerous game. I read once that like fans have been killed at games before. I mean, I don't know about recent times, but back in the day, I guess.
I don't know about killed. Well, except for fans like falling out of stands.
I remember
that happened last year. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, there was a fan that fell out of the stands.
I thought I read a statistic once that said that fans have been killed at baseball games.
Really?
Not recently. Yeah.
I don't know. Double check that.
Yeah, I'll get on that. But anyway, so about player safety.
Yeah, I'm just still stunned that Major League Baseball hasn't come out and at least made a statement about it, like maybe like we're looking into it, maybe we're trying to figure out ways, because
they have
not said anything about this. And if I'm a pitcher, I don't know. I would wear a helmet.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the position you're in. You're in the middle of the field. You're throwing to a guy that's going to hit that ball back at you, potentially.
And you're completely defenseless,
because
the way you throw the ball, you need to go your whole body into the throwing motion.
Yeah.
So when you're done your throwing motion, you're still left in a vulnerable state. You're defenseless.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I just find it to be very not smart that in this day and age, baseball hasn't come up with some sort of preventative measure for this. At least a helmet, something.
So why do you think that baseball hasn't said anything about it? Why do you think?
Well, I mean, baseball is out of the big four sports, it's the it's the one that's the hardest to change. You know, you're always going to get those people that are going to say, we played this game 120 years ago and we were fine.
Well, I know when, didn't they implement some type of replay system where they tried to?
And
everybody just went absolutely crazy about how it ruins the integrity of the game. Oh, shut up.
This sport, yeah, this is the sport.
Look, do you want integrity or do you want a game that's called effectively?
This is the sport that denied instant replay. Except for scoring plays. I think that's the only time they're allowed to use instant replay is if it's a scoring play.
I think so.
So, yeah, their baseball out of the big four is resistant to change, the most resistant to change.
They really are very resistant. You're right.
But I think that when it comes to an issue like this, they really can't afford to. I mean, luckily this guy is okay, and they said he'll only have the effects of a mild concussion. But, you know, the first time that he hits the ground and he's not moving,
that's scary.
The first thing that's running through my mind is he alive? I mean, is it going to take a death?
Yeah, I mean, a hit like that to the head, I mean, he's lucky that he didn't die.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't actually see it, but...
You might not want to see it. It's pretty bad.
Baseball's
It goes right to his head.
You know, people have died over far less.
Yeah.
People bump their heads and, you know, they die from a blood clot or... You know, just hitting the wrong nerve in the wrong way. To have a baseball, a hard baseball, flying at you at probably close to 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, between the throw and the hit back.
Yeah.
It's just...
So do you think it would be difficult to implement for pitchers to wear helmets? I mean, I don't see how they could say that... I don't see how they could argue against it. Maybe it would interfere with the pitching. I don't know. I don't pitch, so I don't know.
I mean, maybe it might affect your throwing mechanism, or it might like come off during your throwing motion. But I don't know. I just feel like get a clip or something. Tape that thing to your face or something. I don't know. Find a way, because I do not want to watch a baseball game. See another play like this happen, and the guy is dead.
Yeah, that would be absolutely horrible and shocking, and yeah. You don't want to see that.
I mean, even football players wear helmets. You know?
Yeah, they have pads all over. I don't know why they wouldn't wear a helmet.
The batter wears a helmet.
The batter has
why
to wear
not
a helmet?
The pitcher?
The catcher is all decked out.
Yeah. I'm not saying they should go that far.
No, not that far.
I don't think we need nine people on the field with all that equipment on,
well,
too.
Well, you can't... Well, I don't think you'd be able to pitch with that type of gear.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't see why not. Just at least a helmet. Protect your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, at least the head.
Yeah, that's the most vital part.
It's scary, and I didn't like that baseball didn't make any comment about it.
Have they still not said anything about it?
I believe not. I did not hear any news on it. I mean, at least when football had that wave of concussions, Roger Goodell came out and said, all right, we're going to look into this. We're going to see what we can do to increase player safety. Bud Selig has done nothing. He's just sat on his ass on it.
And I know this is sad to say, but I don't think anything's ever going to be said about it.
It won't be until somebody gets seriously hurt.
How much serious does it have to be? He had to be taken out on a stretcher, and
it's going
to
take like a paralyzing hit. It's going to have to take something like that. Obviously, to get a message across.
I hope it doesn't get to that point. I mean, to think the only way that you can see that there needs to be that safety issues need to be addressed is for someone to be paralyzed or killed. That's kind of shocking.
Yeah. To go back to the incident with Cobb, reporters said that in the press box said that they heard the impact of the ball hitting his head.
Oh, man.
That's how hard and intense this line drive was. It's unacceptable. I don't understand why baseball at least comes out and says we need to look into more preventative measures. Instead, they're silent on it. So,
well, like you said, they're the most resistant to change. So I don't think anybody's going to say anything.
No, it's gonna take a serious injury. It is,
and that's really sad, because who's going to be the martyr that gets that injury?
Yeah,
you know.
So anyway, just want to send out our thoughts to Alex Cobb as he recovers. from this line drive hit.
Yes, a speedy and safe recovery to him.
Yeah, I mean, of course we joke around, you know, with sports. We joke.
We can get serious, too, sometimes.
You know, we joke around with, you know, certain teams are evil or something, or are the devil, or we don't like them and all that stuff. And, you know, in the intensity of the moment, you know, we might say, you know, they suck. We don't care about them. They can all go off a bridge or something. But right. At the end of the day, all these athletes are people.
Right.
With families.
And you wouldn't wish that type of hurt
and
on anybody else.
I would not. Yeah, I don't want to see a player die
on
the baseball field or any field for that
right.
matter.
Yeah, you joke around, you know, oh, I hope, you know, such and such star quarterback, you know, breaks a finger so he can't throw or something like that. But
I don't want to see a pitcher actually die on the mound just because he didn't wear a helmet or there could have been something that could have padded him from the blow.
Right.
So. Just, I don't know. I wanted to make a serious point of that because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I feel...
Well, it's a valid point, too. You know, baseball or football, they're starting to... Well, it's debatable what they're actually accomplishing with their new safety measures. But you can't just joke around about stuff like that. You know, major injuries because of sports. Everybody seems to take it lightly. Oh, he got his bell wrong. How many times have you heard that in relation to football?
Yeah, football, it's like you have to. Yeah. That's like part of the game.
You got your bell wrong. Get back out there.
Anyway, just I felt I needed to bring that up. And I hope that baseball will do something about it.
Well, an enlightening conversation about safety issues.
Yeah. If that was too serious, let's go. Let's get a little bit more funny.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. He not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
Of course, John Madden will bring everything back to humor.
That's right. Let's
humor.
Go the exact opposite end of the spectrum and go to the most ridiculous sports news story, probably. Some controversy.
Brett Favre is one of those guys that when he's hot, he can really be hot. Brett Favre throws as well as anyone. He throws better than anyone. What the heck am I talking about? He's the darndest guy I've ever seen. He can pick up a baseball with his foot.
Don't worry, it's not Brett Favre.
Baseball.
Yeah, there you go. Back to baseball.
Back to baseball.
No, don't worry. The next topic is not Brett Favre. Do not worry. Hopefully, yeah.
In fact, it doesn't have to deal with any athlete, does it?
No, not with an athlete, but it does have to do with football.
Yay.
What is it with football? Everywhere you go, football. Go there, football. Football, football, football. Like, what the f***? Sunday football, Monday night football, Thursday football, football on Thanksgiving, football on Christmas. And out of all sports, it's the one everybody goes the most f***ing over. Makes them act like f***ing maniacs.
Woo! Actually, that's a clip from the Angry Video Game Nerd, which we saw at the Too Many Games convention, which we'll get into in the entertainment entree. So.
We really want to get to that segment, don't we?
We're teasing that a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to Sports Sampler. This is an interesting little story going on in the great state of New Jersey. There was a little town hall meeting with some students with New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. He's a very popular figurehead.
He loves the
right
headlines
now,
doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He loves them. He's making headlines again with this minor, I don't know, not a controversy, but just a...
No, just something interesting about him. You think with all this loving the spotlight and stuff, I would peg him as a Jets fan, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently...
It seems like him and Rex Ryan would be good friends,
right? Yeah, should be best buddies.
Yeah.
Let's share that spotlight together. But no, apparently not. So this student asked Chris Christie, what is your favorite football team or who are you a fan of? And Chris Christie went on this explanation. He said, my father used to yell at the TV set when I was young. So in the beginning, I used to follow the Giants. The Giants and the Jets, though, pretty much stunk when I grew up. So he revealed that in other sports, he does root for the New York teams. He roots for the New York Knicks, New York Mets, and the New York Rangers. But unfortunately, when it comes to football, he said, quote, this last answer makes me nervous, but my favorite football team is not the New York Giants. It is not the New York Jets. It is not the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, no.
His favorite team is actually the Dallas Cowboys.
No!
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Why are you a Dallas Cowboys fan?
Oh, boy. Wait, when did Dallas move to New Jersey? That's what I never understand about people that are fans of teams. I typically go with the geography of the area. If you live near Philadelphia, then you're a Philadelphia fan.
Christy explains the story that his father was a Giants fan, and he used to remember watching him when he was 8. Every Sunday, he would watch the Giants and yell at the TV set in frustration of their play. So he thought to himself, why would I root for a team that makes me angry? So I decided to root for a team that was winning, and at the time, the Cowboys were really good.
Oh, so he's admitting that he was
a bandwagon jumper. All right, I'll give him credit. He's at least admitting he's a bandwagoner.
That's a lot better than some people.
Yeah. He said that they were good back then, and then he just started following them and stayed loyal to the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm a little bit disappointed though.
Yeah.
Really, why Dallas? You know, at least the Giants have won 2 Super Bowls lately. You know, last time I checked, Dallas has only won 1 playoff game during Tony Romo's era.
Well, he just said that he became a fan of them because they were winning at the time. So.
Well, good. Now get back on the Giants bandwagon because they're winning. I don't know.
Yeah,
Dallas Cowboys?
When's he
going to
jump ship?
Yeah. If that's your logic, jump ship. So, I don't know. I'm a little disappointed that he's a Dallas Cowboys fan. And, of course, there was an audible boo in the arena as all the students did not like the fact that he said he was a Dallas Cowboys fan. Hey, that's a common enemy we have.
Yeah.
They're in our division and, you know.
Everybody hates the Cowboys.
Yeah. especially when they choke on the division.
Yeah.
Which they've done in the last, what, 3 seasons or something.
You can always count for them to have a late season collapse.
Yeah. So at least that's good.
Whenever we need Dallas to win a big game, they don't. Woo!
Neither have the Eagles, so.
Yeah, but the Eagles haven't been in any prime situation to make the playoffs or any sort of run. Really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about that? Chris Christie comes out, says he's a Dallas Cowboys fan in the state of New Jersey.
Well, at least he was honest.
Yeah, he's admitting that he was a bandwagoner.
He was honest. He didn't dodge the question and say, oh, I love all of New Jersey's great sports teams. Everyone been,
close.
Yeah, yeah.
He said Mets.
But I mean, really,
I should bring it back up.
He said, my favorite baseball team is the New York Knicks. Oh, basketball team is the New York Knicks. Well, we were talking about baseball.
Yeah. You're a little off there.
He goes on to say. I know.
he's a Knicks fan, a Mets fan, and a Rangers fan.
But I mean, if he were wanted to be a scumbag politician, he could have just said, I love all of New Jersey's great teams, or New York's great teams. You know,
I suppose so.
He could have just brushed it off like that, but he was honest. He said that he was a Cowboys fan, and then he went a step further and admitted, essentially, that he was a bandwagon Cowboys fan.
There are a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans that refuse to admit they're a bandwagoner.
Oh, my God. You know? Anybody
who roots
Here's the thing. If you are around our age, old enough to witness the 90s Super Bowls, and you're a Dallas fan, and you don't live in Dallas, I'm saying it right now to you. You are a bandwagon fan, and there's no way around it. Get over it and just be proud, stand up in your little bandwagon, and shout to the heavens that you're a bandwagon fan. There's no way.
I would say...
You're a legit fan if you watch those 90 Super Bowls and you just decided, oh, I'm a Dallas fan.
I would say it's in correlation with other teams. If you're both like... if a pattern emerges.
Right. If you're a fan of all the geographic teams for one.
If you're a Cowboys, Yankees, Lakers fan, you're a bandwagoner. There's no excuse.
Right.
You know?
But what strikes me as so odd here is that he's a fan of all the other New York, New Jersey teams except for that one.
Yeah.
So that makes it obvious, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, yeah, he admitted that he's a bandwagoner, but also exactly. He still has loyalties to the New York area.
Yeah. Like if I was an Eagles fan, a Flyers fan, and a Sixers fan, and then, oh, but I just really happen to like the Yankees. No apparent reason. No, it's not because they're 26 championships. What are you talking about?
They've been in every other World Series.
What? No, of course it's obvious to
me. Except in the 80s.
Yeah.
I always forget that.
But no, in situations like that, it's pretty obvious that you're a bandwagon fan.
Yeah.
So, to all the bandwagoners out there, just own up to it like Christy did.
Yeah, we'd rather you at least
just
admit.
Say, yeah, I jumped on the bandwagon, and now I'm loving it. And you can just laugh at us because we have no Super Bowls, but at least admit that you're a bandwagon fan, right? Don't just rub it in my face and act like you're holier than thou. At least admit that you jump ship.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a little crazy now.
You know what? I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, but speaking of bandwagoners.
Tangent.
Yeah. Speaking of football and bandwagoners, there was a minor news story going around about Skip Bayless. Do you know him on ESPN? He is apparently obsessed with Tim Tebow in New England. And he thinks that, are you ready for this?
Okay.
One day, Tim Tebow is going to take over for Tom Brady.
Can you believe that?
I mean, maybe by default. I mean, if Tom Brady dies, maybe one day he'll get to throw a pass. I mean, really, you have to break down the statement and figure out the definitions. What does he mean by one day? Does he mean 10 years from now?
Probably.
What does he mean by take over? Does he mean
one play?
One play?
He comes in to kneel. Oh, I was right!
Yeah. So I'm saying I agree with Skip Bayless, and I think he's telling the truth. That one day, eventually, Tim Tebow will throw a pass and or kneel the football or hand it off or stand on the sideline in place of Tom Brady.
Yeah. So.
But actually, yeah, Skip Bayless said that he could see Tom Brady or Tim Tebow taking over for Tom Brady in 3 or 4 seasons.
3 or 4?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Tom Brady Tom Brady isn't slowing down.
Well, Tom Brady, though, he'll be hitting 40 soon.
I can
understand the argument that sooner or later Tom Brady's going to be fading soon.
Right. Eventually,
but Tim Tebow is not the answer.
No.
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 Not by a long shot. But anyway, that was just something else interesting in our bandwagon segment. Apparently, Skip Bayless is all over the Tim Tebow bandwagon.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't like bandwagon jumpers.
Yeah, you know, just...
it's I don't know. Just something about it.
I don't know. It's like you're playing Madden in season mode, and your team sucks.
So you control all 32 teams.
But then you can control all 32 teams, and you jump to whoever's 16-0 and on their way to win the Super Bowl or something.
I cheated so bad in Madden. Let me tell you, I used to control all 32 teams, and I would trade for the first 10 draft picks.
Wow, you're a hell of a manager.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Woo!
And I did manage it.
You managed that. Good job, Mike.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of letters in LaDainian Tomlinson.
That's what Madden says if you ask Madden.
That's how I ran my off season in the Madden games. I'd say, this guy has an interesting name. Let's draft him.
And there's a lot of letters in LaDainian Tomlinson.
The expert opinion on John Madden.
John Madden, sorry.
John Madden trying to comment on himself.
There's a guy in the broadcast booth, and
here I am talking to you, and I got fingers, and I'm pointing to things, and nothing's happening.
I draw things on the little box. Kind of looks like weird symbols.
I'm wearing a headset. I'm talking about football.
Who would have thought football, huh?
Brefard.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch and fucking football.
Why do we always go back to football?
All of our sports discussions end up back to football.
We should just call it like
the football frenzy or something.
There you go, the football frenzy.
NFL Blitz.
Well, that's ripping off the...
Oh, that's right, it's video games.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll be getting to that.
I know, we keep bringing up the angry video game nerd.
Yeah, we keep bringing up video games. All right, I gotta stop that.
Well, it doesn't matter, because... unless you have anything else, I think that basically wraps it up.
Yeah,
for the
I think so. In conclusion, baseball, get your act together. Give pitchers helmets. Chris Christie, at least you owned up for being a bandwagoner. And Skip Bayless, stop drinking the Tim Tebow Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. All my points summed up.
Peace.
Peace. Yeah.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. With honors. Yeah, you know, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here.
There you go. My best of the best of the best with honors bullet points. All right, so there you go. Good segment there, and you ready for our next part of the show?
Of course, and that is the entertainment entree.
For God's sake.
We haven't used that clip in a while.
I know. I like that. I really don't know why it would fit there, but...
Punch the keys, for God's sake!
That Sean Connery, is that from... that's from... Oh, what's the name?
Fighting Forrester.
Yes. Yeah. It's the one where that kid goes and he learns how to write with a...
With a typewriter.
With a typewriter,
not with
yeah.
these fancy computers and
Sean
digital...
Connery's like some like reclusive... Author that like people thought disappeared or something.
Yeah.
Go watch that movie. It's
a good movie. I like it. It's a feel good up good up feel good up good. Yes.
feel good up good.
It's a feel good up good movie. Welcome to Rich Liebig's Reviews. This is a feel good up good movie. You're gonna want to see this one.
It's double plus good.
Four pluses. I don't know what that means on my scale, but it's pretty good. Yeah,
four pluses.
By the way, I had to write a review for Superman.
Yeah, I read the review. I liked it.
You did?
Yeah.
I felt like I really wasn't writing a review because I did it all in bullet point. I think better in bullet points.
If bullet points works, then that's what works.
And just that's how I think better.
Yeah.
I love outlines.
And people like outlines and lists.
Yeah.
Like
helps organize things.
If you show somebody a paragraph of writing, they're gonna go, "Oh God, I gotta read a paragraph." If you put those same sentences into bullet points, guarantee you they will read them without complaining. Because, look, a list. I like lists.
And there are 360 ways to see an elephant. If you put an elephant in the center of a circle and go around that circle 1 degree at a time, you will see that same elephant in 360 different perspectives. The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
Thank you, Gary Busey.
So after you see the elephant from 360 degrees, you can be happy?
Yeah.
Is that all it really takes? Is that the secret to life?
That's the secret to life, apparently.
Wow.
And apparently the secret to my movie reviews. I have to do it in bullet points.
Hey, that's fine.
So that's my review style, okay. If you're that interested. What's part of the show are we on right now?
The entertainment entree?
Oh, all right. Woo!
Yeah.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
All right, there we go. I don't know. I had to get this back to entertainment.
Well, that actually kind of fits because it has to do with the mafia. And one of the great actors that portrayed a mafia boss, right? Mafia boss in The Sopranos. James Gandolfini passed away recently at the age of 51. Really?
Yeah, this was a shocker.
Really young.
Very young. 51. I believe a heart attack.
That's what they're
just
saying.
Right on the spot.
They're going to do an autopsy because I think he died in Italy, and that's their standard operating procedure.
Well, that's a good stereotypical place for Tony's Soprano to die.
Yeah, right? An Italian guy who played a mafia guy dies in Italy. Suddenly.
Yeah.
At the age of 51.
That's not suspicious.
No, that's not suspicious at all.
But it's a shame that he died so young in his life.
51 is young nowadays.
Yeah, that's not...
I mean, you're talking about the human lifespan on average is like, what is it, like 77, something like that?
It's in the 70s.
Mid-70s?
For men. I know women are older. Are older.
Yeah, probably closer
They're
to
closer
80.
They're closer to 80.
Yeah.
I think men are still stuck at like 75.
We're stuck at 75.
Yeah. That's
Damn.
As far as we're going to go, folks. Get used to it.
It's like checking the gas tank. How much you got left?
How old am I? Oh, crap. I'm 40? Oh, I'm halfway through.
My tank's half empty. You can't fill up on the highway with those gas tanks.
Yeah, there's no chance of...
You're screwed. You just drive until you run out of gas. We're now equating people to cars.
Run it and gun it. Let's go.
Run it and gun it.
Woo! But anyway...
Anyway, back to the serious. Yeah.
Yeah, sad to see James Gandolfini dead at 51.
Of course, the star of The Sopranos.
Yes.
From HBO.
That was a huge jersey to go back to
oh,
New
yeah.
Jersey. That's
Jersey
a huge
too, yeah.
New Jersey icon.
Yeah, it is.
That show brought so much attention to New Jersey.
Yeah.
All the locations, the storylines.
They filmed in Jersey.
They even filmed in North Jersey, so... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is definitely it left its mark in a local sense of the area.
Yeah. The Sopranos was a huge series. Everybody talked about it. I didn't have HBO.
That was the first time HBO had a critically acclaimed series.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have HBO at the time, so I never got to see it. And I've
yeah,
been slacking.
I
still haven't seen
I
it.
I was deemed too young at the time.
No. Have you seen it since?
I still snuck in a couple.
Have you seen seasons. It since?
No, I haven't. I
got
to go back. I got to go back and watch it.
I should do that too.
Frank Vincent is in it, and
who?
Frank Vincent.
Who's he?
He's the white-haired devil in, like, Goodfellas and Casino.
Okay.
He has white hair but still black eyebrows.
He should die one or the other.
Billy Bat, right? The guy in the go get your shine box.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Go home, get your shine box.
That's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, he's in The Sopranos, and then in Casino.
If people don't know what we were referencing Goodfellas.
Yeah,
the shine box scene.
Yeah, go home, get your effing shine box. I can't curse. But, yeah, and then in Casino, he's the one that kills Joe Pesci's character, which is kind of retribution almost, because Joe Pesci kills him in Goodfellas.
Well, you're giving away the plots, Rich.
Oops, sorry. So, I should have played the spoiler music. It's too late to play the spoiler music now. Oh, well.
Our death metal spoiler music. So,
you still want me to play it?
If you want to. It's an after spoiler alert. I was just laughing because the way we come up with this stuff is completely and utterly nonsensical.
Well, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, there's no reason to have that as spoiler music.
For those that don't know, usually if we plan out something that have spoilers or something in it that we want to make a note of, we'll play that as our spoiler music.
You can't miss it.
And so you can't miss it. But unfortunately, I did you guys an injustice by not playing it, so I'm sorry.
If they haven't seen a movie from 1990, it's on them
sorry.
At this point.
I'm sorry. It's my bad.
Oh,
thanks, guys.
but anyway,
sad to see.
James Gandolfini, 51.
So young. That's way too young to have a heart attack and just keel over.
It is. Sad news.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to some more uplifting news. Well, more funnier news.
Right. Today's a seesaw episode, isn't it?
It's
like serious... And then laughing our asses off.
Yeah, you gotta have a balance.
Yeah.
You gotta have a good balance. Well, let's get to something funny then.
Right. You wanted to bring up... Go ahead. You tell me about it, because I haven't heard anything about it yet.
All right. Well, apparently over the weekend, we had the Miss Teen USA competition, which is always a good source for...
humor.
to see these girls try and... answer political questions in the middle of a beauty pageant, which I still don't understand why this is a part of the show, but oh well.
They're still kids at that point. What are they, like 17, 16, something like that?
I don't get why... I don't know. Maybe I'm just being naive, but I feel like the whole thing is a strict beauty pageant, so why don't you just have a beauty pageant? I don't know. I feel naive sometimes when I watch it.
Why would they be asking them political...
Serious political questions.
Yeah, it's like, you just strutted around in a bathing suit. What do you think about world hunger?
Yeah, exactly. Is that just me? I feel like I'm... That's not...
It seems weird.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, come over here.
Yeah, do you have something to say?
Our first interview!
Yeah, we had an interview over here.
First ever, guys, exclusive... Crispy noodle interview with my mom. I think she was making potatoes before this.
Somebody crashed. Yeah. Hi there, Mrs. Costanza. How you doing?
Well, I just wanted to say about the beauty pageant thing. It's not that I like beauty pageants. I do not. The point is that when you're looking for someone, they're looking for someone that is all an around person. Do you know what I mean? They have to be able not only to be beautiful, but also have a brain that goes with it. They want teenagers who are in tune with the world around them.
Are you a spokesperson?
No, I'm not.
Miss Teen USA?
And this is what's so a shame, that when they take these girls, they're supposed to be, a lot of them are really bright girls, but they're so busy trying to be beautiful that I think they forget they have brains as well.
Wait, the sad music. Here, come over here.
Well, it's true. But they do want that well-rounded girl who is not just beautiful, but has brains, is more... what's the word I'm looking for? Philanthropic, who's thinking about who's thinking about the world in general. You may edit this any way you like, because I am stumbling over my...
No, I was just laughing because Rich dropped his microphone stand.
This is the first time I'm doing an interview in the middle of our podcast, all right?
Yeah. If you would like to be interviewed on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, contact us at... What's our email?
The email is thecrispynoodlepodcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
Or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Anyway.
I don't know. Anyway, I guess that makes more sense that you're looking for more of an ambassador. But then if you're looking for more than an ambassador, then why have a bathing suit competition? I don't know.
Right. How many times do you say, well, does your ambassador look good in a bathing suit? Well, I'm sorry. I can't talk to you then.
Well,
Oh, it shows they also care for their bodies.
Well,
she
then
says.
You can look good in the business. Isn't there like a business portion?
Do like a business. Wait.
Like
a business portion? What did you say?
I'm like a part where they wear a.
I don't know. I don't know the Misty badge.
A business portion? As she's carrying the latest Versace briefcase with metal clasps and speckled leather.
I meant that there's a segment where they dress like professionally, isn't there?
I guess.
Like they have like a maybe night, like a night,
evening wear?
Yeah, evening wear. Yeah, like that's what I was looking
like
for.
Like formal business.
There's also a segment where they have to report to the office.
She has her hair pulled up into a tight librarian's bun, and she's wearing those spectacles quite nicely.
Yes, they have to also work in Excel for 5 minutes.
That's she did not merge and center those cells, so that's clearly...
That's going to cost her some points. Cost her.
Let's see how she does in the PowerPoint. Let's see how she does in the PowerPoint portion of the presentation. Oh, and she has clip art animation. Ooh, that's going to be a heavy deduction. Anyway, so after they've gone through...
We could do this show. We could do the Miss Teen USA pageant. We could do it.
So after they're finished, their swimsuit and business portions...
The business...
I can't believe I said that. The business portion.
I'm done now. I'm not going to be able to stop. Oh.
The business portion of the show.
Well, maybe this happened after the business portion of the show. I don't know. Apparently, Miss Utah this year gave a answer that says that most people say rival the infamous answer given by South Carolina in 2007.
The one where she said that the North Africans should have maps.
Yeah. So you know what? I figure we could do a little bit of a game here with you guys for those listening on the podcast for Mike. Maybe if we want to pull in your mom too. Apparently,
she went downstairs.
Oh, she went downstairs. Oh, all right. Here's what I think we should do. I think first, we're going to refresh everyone's memory, and we'll play the infamous Miss Teen USA 2007 horrible answer.
Oh, boy.
And then we will play the Miss Utah answer from this year that everyone said was bad.
Okay.
And we'll do a compare and contrast. How about that?
All right, let's do that.
All right, well, this is the classic Miss Teen USA South Carolina.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much.
Like such as.
Wow,
like,
that was... I
thought that was like such bad. As, like, the such as good.
And children.
And children, yes. In the U.S. Americans. I do have to say, though, I don't know why this popped into my head. I was listening to that. She said U.S. Americans. Everybody laughs and thinks it's funny. Here's the thing, though. She might kind of be correct because America is not just the United States. North America is Canada, the United States, and Mexico. So U.S. Americans.
I don't know. I feel...
I'm just trying to save her some face.
Well, all right. Well, let's compare it with this year's...
I haven't heard this one yet. I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah?
Especially, yeah, from Utah. I can only imagine this is going to be horrible.
All right. Well, let's listen. This is Miss Utah of this pageant. And people say that this is just as bad as the previous mess up. So let's play the clip.
A recent report shows that in 40% of American families with children, women are the primary earners, yet they continue to earn less than men. What does this say about society?
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive to figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem. And I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Utah. Thank you, sweetheart.
What? All right. So there you go.
I'm so confused. We need to create education better.
Yeah. That's been the popular punchline.
How can you create education better?
All right. Well, anyway, here we go. Toss up. Which is worse, the 2007 South Carolina girl or Miss Utah 2013?
Okay. Well, I think that they're both horrible for different reasons. One, because Carolina, first off, South Carolina, she just had everything wrong. She was saying the Iraqs, the North Africas. And why are we teaching children in North Africa about where to find the U.S. on a map when the question was about Americans finding U.S. on the map? Now, the one from Utah, she was also wrong in a lot of things. But what really gets me about that one is just the long, awkward pause in the middle.
Yeah.
Where she just stops talking.
Well, all right, here's...
I understand you're nervous and everything, but then when she did pick up, she forgot the main topic of what she was talking about. And she starts talking about education instead of fair pay.
Yeah.
For both sexes. So she went completely off topic. Well, they both went off topic.
Yeah, they both are out there. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to cut 2013 Utah slack.
Okay.
Because I feel like her problem was a delivery problem.
Right.
If she... I feel like the moment the question was asked of her, she took off on her answer.
Right.
And I feel like what she needed to do...
She needed to think.
She needed to have just a 3-second pause to gather her thoughts. Because that's when she starts rambling. She starts rambling about the education. And then she just...
And then she just goes off the...
And then she blanks.
Right.
That's usually a common thing where if you got too many ideas going in your head, you just crash and then you... forget where you are. And that's actually a common phenomenon.
We do it on the show all the time.
Yeah, see our show. Of course. All right.
At least you filled the awkward silence with stutters and stammers.
But I mean, that's more of a communication problem. That's more of a delivery problem. So I feel like that's more acceptable. That South Carolina girl in 07, she had no idea what she was talking about.
No idea.
Her question was a domestic policy question, and she answered with a foreign policy answer. I mean,
Iraqs.
Way off. The Iraqs.
The Iraqs.
Yeah. So if you're asking me, I think South Carolina is much worse.
Right. Well, like I said, she was actually wrong about stuff, whereas Utah was just... It was just sheer awkwardness.
Yeah, she messed up in the first couple of sentences, and she got scared.
Yeah, and it just spiraled out of control. I feel kind of bad for both of them. But the thing is, I get the sense that Utah realizes that she's spiraling out of control, whereas South Carolina is just like,
if I just keep chugging along, it'll
eventually make sense. I'll say something that makes sense.
It'll sound right eventually. Yeah.
If I put enough things into this sentence, eventually it will sound education.
Yeah. It'll sound education.
That's what it sounded like. It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
See? Exactly.
Tickle.
All she needed was a tickle.
A tickle. Whoa. Tickle.
But... So anyway, would you agree with me then? I feel like...
South Carolina will live on in infamy. I feel bad for Utah. It was really awkward and painful, and she did get way off subject. But South Carolina just...
Yeah, I feel like that will always live in infamy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if there was any before that, but that was like the big...
That was the big viral one.
Yeah. That's what sucks about this day and age.
And that's what the internet people were comparing Utah to. So I figured it'd be a good compare and contrast.
Right.
And I personally think... The South Carolina girl is much worse, but Utah. Yeah. I think she gets a little bit of a pass. You know,
a little bit,
a little bit.
I mean,
it's still funny.
She paused, and part of me thinks that she should have taken a breath and collected herself, and got back on track.
She paused because she knew
she was done.
She was done.
But then she didn't make it better. She just kept on. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well. What are you gonna do? But anyway, so there you go. I just wanted to bring that up. I thought it was funny.
Miss Teen Utah, right?
That was Miss Teen Utah. All
right.
All right, you ready for what's our next topic?
Our next topic is the one that we've been hinting at the entire show. The Too Many Games convention was in the area.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We went.
And we got free tickets.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Awesome. But the Too Many Games convention was in Oaks, PA, correct?
Yep.
Right.
Oaks, PA.
And you had mentioned that it's actually like a staple in the area. Like it's been around for quite some time.
It started a couple years ago, and now it's grown into this fandom.
I had never heard of
retro video games and card games.
And it was really cool to be around all those old school video game consoles, ColecoVision and Intellivision and Atari.
Yeah, I mean, we started playing games in the early 90s. To mid 90s.
Yeah, Sega Genesis represent.
Yeah, there you go. So we missed the boat on things like ColecoVision, Atari.
Yeah,
I love Intellivision. We got to play in Intellivision. Oh, all right,
those controllers. They have people. If you've never seen one, the controller is a number pad. Like
it looks like a cell phone.
Yeah,
an old fashioned cell phone
with a weird dial down at the bottom that
you can complete your call.
Yeah, exactly. We played. We didn't play anything big. It was Frogger. Which we both failed miserably at.
Yeah, that Frogger game was hard.
That was cheap. Can I just say that? It wanted you to land on this space like exactly down to the pixel.
You had to time it perfectly.
Yeah, and we couldn't do it.
No.
We also played old Super Nintendo and a couple of other games. Played N64.
We got to see... Oh, you know what one of my favorite parts of the day was? We got to see an old Tecmo football game.
That was cool.
Updated with the player rosters today, but it was still on the Nintendo Entertainment System in Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, I want to find the person that did that mod. That must have been an incredible challenge for them.
Yeah, you got to keep all the rosters updated and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know what goes into like how they do like player, like how they make certain players better than others and stuff like that. It just seems like a very big undertaking for whoever did that.
Yeah,
I don't know how it worked.
But you know what we loved Remember what we loved the cutscenes?
Oh yeah,
those extreme cutscenes. It's a point after touchdown, and this guy's like lunging for his life.
It's like really cool, like cinematic cutscenes where they show the action on the field. I would love for football games to have that. Now they're trying to capture what it feels like to actually watch a broadcast. I don't want a broadcast. If I want to see a football broadcast, I'll watch NFL replay or I'll watch an actual NFL game. I want to see people lunging 15 feet through the air to try and block a point after attempt.
I want drama.
Yes. dramatic. And what did they call it that we thought was funny? Oh, a successful try.
Yeah, that seems like an oxymoron to me. Is that just me?
Yeah, a little bit.
A successful try.
Yeah. Why can't they just call it point after?
Yeah, like a try sounds like you attempted, but you didn't make it. But then a successful try, what is that?
You successfully attempted to try to make the point after.
That's like a half point, right?
It's like a quarter. Yeah, it's like a quarter of a point.
That's what they mean in Vegas. That's a half point.
I always wondered how you could get half points. Now I know. It's a successful try.
There you go.
Well, they made it out on the field. They gave it their best shot. They get half a point.
Woo! They beat the spread. Woo! Yeah.
What else? We saw a whole bunch of handmade art for the various video game franchises. People made crazy stuff like pillows and blankets.
Yeah, pillows with Mario characters on it.
Yeah, really cool stuff. Custom t-shirts. And then, of course, you have all the merchandise, like action figures.
Hello, it's-a me, Mario. Woohoo!
So if you wanted him saying that on your pillow, you could get that.
Yeah.
Maybe get that as a ringtone or something.
Maybe.
Oh, you know what we did pass by that you did not notice and I had to tell you?
What?
Duck Hunt.
Oh, that's right. Duck Hunt.
Yeah, we saw an old Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
That brought back some memories for me with that orange gun, the zapper.
The light gun, yeah.
That's what they used to call it.
Oh, the zapper?
The zapper. It's actually interesting how it worked because you know how the zapper works?
I do not know.
What would happen was... let's say for Duck Hunt.
Okay.
If you're playing Duck Hunt and you're aiming the gun, there's no like motion bar.
Right.
What the gun does is it picks up on light from the television screen.
Oh. And so if there's a change in light.
If there's a change in light at the same time you trigger your gun, that's how it registers that you hit the duck. And that's how the sound effect would come up.
I wonder if there's a way to cheat that system then.
There is.
Oh.
If you get a working gun and you put it up to a light source, like a lamp or something, it should register a hit every time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And you always get our famous sound effect.
Love that sound effect.
It is a good sound effect.
Brings back good memories, man.
So yeah, we found a, so we saw an old duck hunt. We saw a super scope. Boy, that's some fun stuff. Eating up six batteries at a time.
Yeah, we saw a whole bunch of old peripherals and consoles, a couple of Dreamcasts.
Yeah, Dreamcasts, man.
Sega Saturn, a Neo Geo was like the grand prize for the raffle.
Yeah.
An unopened Neo Geo.
An unopened, yeah.
Yeah, that probably could be a collectible.
And
or
I
something.
Like looking at the boxes because they still have all the old advertisements on it for like contests that have been expired for like 30 years.
Yeah.
I think I pointed one out to you where you could win like $10,000.
Yeah, but anyway, that was a good time.
It was.
And we also got to see the Angry Video Game Nerd who supplies us with our football clip.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' football!
Woo! That's right, he had a Q&A panel that we were able to get into. Couldn't see anything because it was a packed house.
Yeah, it was a packed house, man. Everybody likes the Angry Video Game.
People were lining the walls and standing in the back. It was pandemonium.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, and he's a Philly guy, too, which
That's
is
right,
cool.
He's local. And I never realized that until now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a local guy. Maybe when he's promoting the movie, maybe we could tie him into doing something. I don't know.
Maybe we could get him to stop by. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. He's too busy yelling at things.
What is it with football? Everywhere you go, football. Go there, football. Football, football, football. Like, what the f***? Sunday football, Monday night football, Thursday football, football on Thanksgiving, football on Christmas. And out of all sports, it's the one everybody goes the most f***ing over. Makes them act like f***ing maniacs.
Well, speaking of that Angry Video Game Nerd Q&A, a popular question was his reaction to the new Xbox scandal going
That's
on.
That's right, the Xbox One policies.
Yeah,
as you know, a very hot topic in video games the past couple of weeks made a lot of video game nerds quite angry at
Microsoft. Literally. He wasn't the only angry video game nerd.
No, there was a whole bunch of them. But now, a shocking turn of events, literally, yes it is. You use the term Xbox 180 because the Xbox One and Microsoft have reversed all of their policies for the next generation of video games.
Yeah. Doing a complete 180 on
this. Complete 180. They said, no used games. Now they're going to allow used games. Couldn't resell games. Now you can resell games. Basically, everything that Sony had already promised with the PlayStation 4. So Microsoft listened to the fans, and they just completely decided to scrap everything and reverse their previous position. What do you think about that? Just cave. People are saying they're caving to the fans.
They had to, or else nobody was going to buy the Xbox One.
That was a very real concern.
Yeah.
I mean, never before had I seen an argument so one-sided.
Amazon.com before this. That
infamous poll that they
Yeah, you saw that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the poll was like something like 18,000 votes for PlayStation and like 600 for Xbox One. Like,
it was
what?
It was even worse.
It was worse than that?
Several days ago I saw an updated version of it when they finally shut it down. It was something like 30 or 40,000 for PlayStation 4 and only 1 or 2,000 for Xbox
One. Wow.
Here's the interesting thing. I heard that poll was supposed to run for a week and it only ran for a couple of days instead of a full week because, well,
yeah,
95% of the votes were going to PlayStation 4.
Yeah. But yeah, they had to do something.
Yeah, just a complete 180, complete about face. And what's interesting is I'm seeing this contrast between the video game publications and journalists and websites and the tech journalists, where the video game sites are happy that this is happening, but all the tech blogs like Gizmodo and Engadget are kind of upset that this is happening because they saw it as the future of digital publishing and digital content, whereas the video gamers are more concerned with ownership rights and stuff like that. So I don't know. I know I didn't have that on the notes, but I thought that was interesting to bring up.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is you need features that players are not only going to want, but so much that they're going to want that they're going to pay money for it. And if you don't have any of those features, that gamers are willing to plunk down money for, you're not going to sell your console.
Yeah, $500 too.
Yeah.
Is not cheap. If you want people to put down $500 on your console, then you have to give them
something they want.
Exactly. You can't force the future down their throats when they are not asking for it.
Yeah.
But it does raise the interesting question, because there are some features that people had started to say, well, this is kind of cool. And now those features won't be available, such as no family sharing. The Xbox was going to have this feature where 10 users could become part of your family circle and play those games on their Xboxes. And now they have to do away with that feature because of the new DRM, digital rights management, or the old DRM they're just going back to. Now you have to have the disc to play. So there are some, I guess, downsides to them reversing their policies. But in the end, I think it was a smart move to reverse their policies.
Yeah, that whole disc thing, yeah. You should be able to hand off a disc to somebody and then have them try it.
Right, exactly. And the thing that kind of annoyed me too is the internet connection issue. Because now people without internet, such as people overseas or just people in areas that don't have internet, those areas do exist, even in the U.S. So those people will now be able to play games without having to worry about their Xbox locking them out because it can't connect to the Microsoft servers.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that they're doing that,
right,
though.
Here's the thing, though, is the internet is a very fickle creature.
The internet was speaking to me. In tongues.
Yes, it spoke to me on this issue. And I could see this going one of two ways. And like I just mentioned with the video games versus the tech blogs, where some people might see this as a good thing that Microsoft is changing its policies for the consumers that you know, didn't want these features. And then you could have other people that say that they're caving, that this is a show of weakness, that they shouldn't have done this. So really, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. This is a bad...
But I think they're more damned if they don't.
Yeah. So do I. But then again, we're gamers. So
Well, that's who they're selling the product to.
Exactly.
You said it... I forget what episode we... Yeah. I think the first time this story broke, you said, who are you marketing your game to?
Right.
Video gamers.
Video gamers. You're a video game console.
If you don't market it to video games, then you're not selling it to the right people.
If I want a central entertainment hub... I have a computer. I have a Blu-ray player that connects.
And people have Apple devices.
And Apple devices. And my phone does everything the Xbox One does, with the exception of playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know, besides playing big games like that, I can get everything on my phone.
And that's not big of a loss either, Call of Duty.
Yeah. I haven't played a Call of Duty since, I don't even remember. But that's besides the point. So Microsoft is officially reversing their policies with the Xbox One. I'm still going for PlayStation. But I'm glad that they're doing this, because now fans of Xbox won't have to abandon everything that they've built up over the past, you know, 11 years or whatever it's been with Microsoft. Because that would suck for them if they had to abandon all that.
Yeah, it would. You'd get a one-sided video game war.
Yeah, and that's not good for anybody. No competition, no exclusives. So I like what's happening now.
Go Xbox. in terms of this.
Yes.
These developments.
Only in terms of this one decision, go Xbox.
Yeah. All right. And that was our entertainment entree segment. And now it's time for, I believe it's your favorite part of the show.
I think it's everybody's favorite part of the show, Rich. Come on now.
It's time for our non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back. Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! Yeah. I got a couple of odd news stories for you.
This is our wildest segment.
Never know where we're going to go in our odd news segment. All right, you ready for our first story?
Of course.
A mayoral hopeful in Mexico promises to eat, sleep most of the day, and donate his leftover litter to fill potholes. Because this mayoral hopeful is Morris, a black and white kitten with orange eyes. This kitten is legally running for mayor in the town of Xalapa in eastern Mexico with the campaign slogan, quote, "Tired of voting for rats? Vote for a cat."
Oh my gosh.
And he's getting pretty popular. He's attracting tens of thousands of supporters, especially on social media websites.
Wow. This reminds me of a story that happened a while back. Didn't a town in the U.S. have like some type of animal as its mayor? But that's so weird. So how is this legal in Mexico?
He was put forth as a candidate by Sergio Chamorro and a group of friends after they became disillusioned with the promises of politicians that they failed to answer. Morris's candidacy has resonated across Mexico, where citizens frustrated with the human candidates are starting to all nominate their pets and farm animals to run in elections that are being held in 14 areas of Mexico.
Are there any goats running?
Well, let's go through the list.
Oh, you have a list? Oh, my God.
Our first one up is Chon the Donkey.
Oh, no.
Chon? What? That's
Chon.
Very odd name. Chon.
That is an odd name. Does it mean something in Spanish?
I don't know. Chon. We also have Tina the Chicken. Another cat named Maya. Maya the Cat.
Oh, those cats.
Yeah, the cats, man. They're going to take over. And we also have Tintan the Dog.
Tintan?
Tintan.
Okay.
Politicians repeatedly rank at the bottom of polls about citizens' trust in institutions, especially in Mexico. Morris's cuteness, the clever campaign, and their promises to donate money from the sales of campaign stickers and t-shirts to animal shelters all over Mexico has attracted pet lovers. But most of the supporters behind Morris are citizens that are tired of corrupt politicians and fraudulent elections.
Well, really, isn't that the stereotype that all of South America is like horribly corrupted and everything?
Yeah. They're so corrupted they're willing to let a cat run for mayor.
What happens when the cat wins? Everyone goes, well, shucks. I was going to say.
That's what happens. Whatever the cat wants to do, apparently.
Whatever the cat wants to do.
So I mentioned that he's popular on social media.
Right.
This cat, Morris, has a website, a Twitter account, and a Facebook page. This cat has more than 115,000 likes, which makes him more popular than 5 of the other human mayoral contenders.
Oh, my gosh. This is not good. What happens if a cat actually wins? I mean, do they realize the repercussions of putting an animal in office? Haven't they ever read Animal Farm, for Christ's sake?
Oh, well, here's an interesting correlation. A cat named Stubbs, which has been an honorary mayor of the town of Talkeetna, Alaska, has officially shown support for Morris the Cat by posting his fellow felines candidate spot on his Facebook page.
Jeez.
So apparently
this is getting out of hand now.
Yeah, apparently these cats running for mayor are all the rage now. Politicians, you better watch out. You're going to get replaced by cats.
Say hello to my little friend.
You ready for the next story?
Yeah, I'm trying
you're
to.
You're still stuck on that one?
I'm trying to fathom what would happen if a cat won and then people like reporting to the cat like, Mr. Mayor, sir. What do you think about such and such? And all he gets is like a purr and a meow back.
That's all they get.
That's all they can get out of Morris.
All right, you ready for our next story?
Sure.
Organizers for baseball's College World Series were embarrassed after it was pointed out that a huge banner that is over the third base dugout was misspelled.
Oh, no.
The title over the third base dugout had an extra L in it. So it looked like Kukalilijville misspelled. So there's 3 L's. Kalililij.
Kalililij.
Yeah.
Cluck went the chicken.
Well, there you go. You could get the chicken and you could have a little bibbity everywhere.
Kalililij.
Louisville sports reporter writer Howie Lindsay was the first to spot the mistake at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha on Sunday and uploaded a picture of it to Twitter. So if you don't believe me, there's a picture right there. Yeah, it has the extra L in it.
Oh, man.
College with three L's in it.
College.
College.
Cluck went the chicken.
The photo went viral, and the NCAA was forced to wait until later in the day to correct the sign without disrupting play in the baseball game.
They just rush out onto the thing and start repainting it or whatever.
Quick, quick, quick! Hurry up! Maybe they won't notice! Get the white out!
They just, like, slap some random paint over it.
Yeah. Someone spilled white out everywhere.
That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, typos, they happen. Little, you know, if you're making a text, you make a typo. If you're writing something in an email or even, you know, something for work or school, you have a typo.
But while painting, nobody noticed?
That sign is literally, like, it looks like 20 feet long.
Yeah, it's the whole third base dugout.
How do you misspell something that huge? You're like, guys, I don't know, this is like the fourth L that I've painted. This doesn't seem right. Like, how do you just, like, keep painting and don't even notice?
Maybe it was like a chant. College! College! Need it like the Rock or something. Can you smell what college is cooking? Needed the Rock on that one.
Yeah, I'm just thinking when you type something, it's fast. And it's, you know, it's like half a second and it's over. But this probably took a long while for them to do. They had a lot of time to catch their mistake.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America.
There you go. Maybe Bill Callahan was behind this.
Maybe.
So there you go. Even colleges misspell their own name. All right, ready for our next story?
Yep.
A parliamentary hearing on Ukraine's budget was suspended for several hours on Tuesday after opposition deputies alleged that a deputy finance minister that was presenting the budget was drunk. And Natalie Markovtsy, a deputy finance minister, spoke for 10 minutes on the government's budget performance in 2012. But when questions were invited, deputies from Ukraine's rowdy opposition said that he's drunk. One shouted, quote, anyone with 5 meters can tell he reeks like someone who has been drinking vodka. Mr. Speaker, go and sniff him for yourself. The speaker declined, saying that it was not for him to check on the behavior of officials or deputies. But he suspended the budget hearing to allow time to clarify whether or not the man was under the influence of alcohol or not.
But really, the way that some countries are run, don't you think that most of them are drunk anyway?
Yeah. Ukraine's parliament, where the Regions Party holds a small majority against a boisterous opposition, which is seeking the release of the ex-prime minister, is often a theater for tussles and fistfights among deputies.
So this is like a quiet meeting.
Yeah.
Instead of the usual fistfight.
Yeah, you know. It's like by drinking, no big whoop.
It was like so nonchalant the way you read that. It's like, it's usually filled with fistfights and what'd you say?
And tussles.
And tussles.
According to the Reuters news agency.
Yeah. Usually they just start fighting.
Usually they just duke it out. But, you know, today they're just drinking.
Put me in a cage with that S.O.B. Please put me in a cage. A cage.
That's actually exclusive audio from that meeting.
Yeah, we got the exclusive audio right there. So challenging each other to steel cages match.
That's how politics should be, though.
Yeah.
I'm gonna strangle you half to death.
If you can make it through that sentence.
Yeah. Sounds like he's being strangled.
Yeah, that's Ric Flair speaking in the Ukraine parliament budget hearing.
I mean, enough of this underhanded bull. I mean, they should just start fighting. When people get upset about stuff in politics, just start throwing punches.
Yeah.
That's how you settle it.
There you go. I love that sound clip.
I disagree, Mr. Speaker. Punch.
Ha 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 ha!
Why have we not played this yet?
You gotta love the punch sound effect.
They should play that music during every meeting. Like, like it doesn't matter what country it is or what branch of politics it is. Just play that music while they're having the meeting.
We got the budget numbers over here, and they're like really big. Yeah, like you guys might want to like tone down the expenditures.
We need to cut spending.
And maybe like increase revenue. That might help. Exclusive audio.
Yes. I mean, the way politics are, it is almost like a circus. Not almost like it. It is, because like you said, they're getting into fist fights and drinking and
Have a drink. All right, you ready for our next story?
Yep.
A family had a close encounter with a bear while celebrating Father's Day this weekend in Wyoming. The Kelly family had a relaxing Sunday morning breakfast, but apparently they didn't clean up as well as they initially thought. A bit of bacon grease was still on the campground grill, and that was enough to draw the attention of a big bear.
Oh my gosh.
Two staff members of the camp came to warn the Kelly family that a bear was close by, and that's when 11-year-old Baden Kelly sprung into action.
What?
The 11-year-old began screaming in order to get the bear's attention. He distracted the bear long enough for most of his family to run into a nearby cabin.
And then he was eaten.
No. He was scared because of his family. He was afraid that the family wasn't going to be able to fight for themselves. So he made the choice to distract the bear.
Oh my gosh. That 11-year-old's got balls, man.
Yeah, this kid, man. The dad expressed pride in his boy. Quote, he's definitely a hero. Both of our boys are heroes today.
I like how we throw that in. Both of our boys. I mean, one saved us from a bear, the other one made me this macaroni and Crayola painting for Father's Day.
Logan's hard-charging bravery and Baden's refusal to leave his family's side led to a happy ending for the family, and no one was hurt in the incident. That's a weird name, Baden.
Baden.
That's his first name, Baden.
Baden?
Baden.
What's his last name?
Kelly.
Baden Kelly?
Yeah.
It's like really weird and then like really basic.
Yeah.
Baden Kelly.
Yeah, this 11-year-old decided to distract the bear.
I'm sorry, but that is incredibly stupid. I mean, dude, think about how many things could have gone wrong with that situation. You know,
I wrestled a bear once, 750-pound black bear. They got a big turkey neck, and they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with the bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me and then wrestle the bear. I know about bear, and I can talk to them. I can give them a signal that we're safe, like, that's the sound the bear makes.
See, if they had Gary Busey training them, they would be fine. They would have been 100% fine.
I think that's what the kid did to distract the bear. He was just
he was just doing all those sound effects.
He was just talking.
That's the sound the bear makes.
Ah, there you go.
They were just having a conversation. He's going, Mr. Bear, why are you over here attacking my family? And the bear said, I just wanted some bacon.
That's the sound the bear makes.
Love you very much. I'm going to come see you one day, whether you like it or not.
I think that's the only time a bear would not walk up to a person is if Gary Busey said, I'll come see you whether you like it or not.
Love you very much. I'm going to come see you one day, whether you like it or not.
The bear would be like, okay, I'm going to go this way.
Goodbye.
I'll go this way. Thank you very much.
The word fear, F-E-A-R, this stands for false evidence appearing real.
Well, this boy had no fear.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that. My family would be eaten. I'd just be like,
wow.
I don't know what she's talking. I'm tripping JB and running like hell.
I'm
going to need the extra time.
Bruno is Mike's brother. He's been on the show.
He has been on the show a couple times.
We need to get him back on.
Oh, man.
He's an interesting character.
Yes, he is an interesting character. But I guess congratulations to Baden for ignoring
Baden.
Every ounce of common sense and attacking a bear so his family could get away.
I wrestled a bear once.
So there you go.
He's going to be the next Gary Busey.
He can say that. I wrestled a bear once.
I wrestled a bear once.
Who are we kidding? This kid saw that YouTube video and he decided he wanted to be the next Gary Busey.
All right, I got one more story for you. Ready for this one?
All right.
In Anchorage, Alaska, an alleged shoplifter decided to try and steal some stuff from Walmart. But when he escaped, things got odd because he tried to shoot at a locked door. When that failed, he then removed his pants.
Wait. Oh, I can't get out. I know. I'll take off my pants.
If I take off my pants, I'm invisible, right?
He's just standing there without his pants. Now what?
Employees confronted the man early Wednesday. He ran to a locked door, fired his gun at it, couldn't get through, then went through another door, ran outside, then removed his shoes and pants, and then tried to run home before police caught up with him.
What was the point of... he probably... I don't understand why he felt the need to remove his pants and his shoes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you run faster with pants and shoes on instead of naked from the waist down?
Wesley Weinberger, that's his name, the smart guy here, was tracked to his Anchorage home by a police dog who was following him. Police arrested him on charges of robbery, criminal mischief, and theft.
And being an idiot.
When the police finally confronted him, he was only wearing a shirt and boxer shorts.
Oh, so he didn't ditch the shirt on the way there, too?
No.
No?
He thought the pants, that the had pants, to go. The pants had to go.
They were slowing him down, man. He just couldn't deal with those pants at that moment.
Weinberger is accused of trying to hide a pair of windshield wiper blades in his clothing.
Wait.
That's what this was over.
Oh, so
He
ditched the pants because the windshield wipers were probably in the pants. What do you think? If he was hiding them in his clothing?
Oh my God, just find money for windshield wiper blades. This is not worth going to jail over.
Why don't you steal the money and then buy the windshield wiper blades? It'd there be a lot go. Easier than stealing the windshield wipers, wouldn't it?
Mike giving you the practical advice here.
I'm a seasoned criminal, don't you know that? No, really. I mean, you can cram a lot more dollar bills in your pockets than you can windshield wipers. Max, you can only carry two of those, right? You can cram a lot of dollars into your pants. Is that why he took the pants off? Because the windshield wipers were in them?
Maybe.
Because you said he had them hidden in his clothes.
But you're right. He should have stole some money first.
Right.
Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
Yeah. Well, this guy wanted to take off his pants.
It just baffles me the things that people will steal.
You gotta let's recap this guy's logic.
Right.
All
right.
I need windshield wiper blades.
Right.
I'm gonna steal them from a Walmart.
Of course.
I'm gonna walk into the Walmart. Oh no! I think they suspect me stealing it. I'm gonna run to the door. Oh no! This door is locked. All right. Here's another door. I'll walk through it.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no. I'm going too slow.
I need to shoot the door first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you tried to shoot the door. I'm sorry. Yes. That won't cause any attention my way.
Yeah, I'm trying to escape. Bang, bang, bang.
Oh, that's not working. I'll have to go through another door. Okay, I'm through the other door. Oh, no. I'm moving too slow. They're catching up to me. I'm going to take off my pants now.
But also my shoes.
And my shoes, too.
Because those are also hindering my progress. Now I am running through the snow in Alaska in the middle of the night without pants or shoes.
I can't lose.
He thought he was going to get away. He thought he was.
Oh, man. I just can't believe the things people will go to great lengths to steal. I mean, windshield. All
right, I'm moving too slow. Oh, moving too slow. All right, time to take off my pants. Oh, that's working. That's working. Oh, no, there's a dog.
I'm just trying to think of a valid reason why he would take his pants off. I just can't.
Need to be more aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic?
I don't know.
Also, it's Alaska. Isn't Alaska pretty cold?
Apparently not anymore.
Apparently not. That global warming, now it's like freaking Hawaii.
Yeah.
No, but you figured he'd want to stay bundled up.
All right, but anyway, so there you go. This guy, I'm in pursuit by the cops. I think now's a good time to take off my pants.
Of course. That's what every criminal... It must be like criminal 101. I mean, I'm not a thief, a burglar, so I don't know. Maybe that's standard practice to ditch your pants?
I don't know. I don't know. There you go. So that's what I got in the non-fortune cookie odd news for today.
Wow.
Take off my pants. Oh, yeah.
I love stupid criminal stories.
Well, according to the scene of the crime here, this guy... his pants here...
We can judge by the direction of the footprints that he had a struggle. It seems like he was fighting...
The shoes.
Yes.
So he had to take off his shoes took them first. Off.
But then here you see these long drag marks. That's him as he's running while removing his pantaloons, which he
his
threw...
His pantaloons?
Yes, his pantaloons.
Were we in the 1800s now?
I don't know why I said that. Law and Order, 1850s.
Well, see, we got some progress made here.
Oh, no.
Bug-eyed joke here. I was a thief once.
I thought you were a lawyer, though.
I was also that, too. I'm a man of many different hats, and I just need to tell you something, that when you are on pursuit, you need to wear as little as possible. You're going to get arrested, so you might as well just take it all off. That's my logic.
Wait, what?
You're going to get arrested anyway.
What would getting arrested have to do with taking your clothes off?
You might as well have some fun with the cops and be naked.
Be naked.
As far as I'm concerned. You know?
If you're going to go out with a bang.
Yeah. The bell knows what I'm talking about. So, there you go. Your weekly dose of Buckeye Chuck there. There you go. That is what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news for this week.
Always a crazy segment.
Yeah. All right. And there you go. What a show, Mike.
Yes. Another excellent one in the books.
Yeah. There we go. We got the celebration music. That means it's time for us to head out. What a show. We went from different extremes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it worked.
We were sad, then, no, we were serious, then happy, then sad, then crazy.
And now, just awesome.
And it's just awesome. That's right.
So anyway, this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're available on many different social media outlets, just like the cat in our story.
That's right.
Just like Morris.
We have just as many social media connections as the cat. You can find us on Facebook. Just search The Crispy Noodle, and you'll come to our fan page. We're on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And don't forget to check out the website, www.thecrispynoodle.com.
And if you want to follow us individually, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel on YouTube and get all the cool highlights from past shows. And most importantly, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
That's right. Definitely subscribe so you get the latest episode as soon as it's published.
That's right. You're definitely going to want to get that and have it on your iPod or iPhone ready to go.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for us. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And this has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life. Good show, Mike.
Excellent show.
That's right. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys later.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Punch the keys, for God's sake!